It has turned out to be a beautiful Friday afternoon, December the 14th. I'm Scoot. A lot of stuff going on this weekend. Looks like the weather's going to be just fine for that. And it was really kind of dreary earlier today, but the sun is out. Maybe some clouds tomorrow, but it's going to be chilly over the weekend and a beautiful day expected on Sunday. Once again, I want to say it's kind of weird not talking about the Saints once again on a Friday. They had two recent Thursday night games, so no game on a Sunday. And now they play Monday night, so no game on a Sunday. So we'll be talking more about the Saints on Monday afternoon of the show. Here is our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Is the homeless Muppet Lily on Sesame Street a positive character for children on TV? 55% say no, and 45% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. And think about the Cookie Monster. Now, I don't know a lot about Sesame Street, but don't they keep giving the Cookie Monster cookies? So, like, this to me is symbolic of an enabler. You know, you've got somebody with an addiction problem, you've got somebody with a little problem, and you keep giving them cookies, and they want more cookies, and you keep giving them cookies. I mean, that's really not a good example to set for kids. So if you're just tuning in, we were talking about other puppets Sesame Street might want to introduce if they really want to teach kids about the real world. Here's a text that says, how about a Jewish puppet whose friends all celebrate Christmas only? Well, I mean, that would be interesting. I mean, I remember in elementary school, there were kids that were Jewish, and they took off for Hanukkah, and they also got off for Christmas. And I thought, as Christians and Gentiles, I thought we got kind of ripped off because we had to go to school during Hanukkah, but they didn't have to go to school during Christmas. I'm kind of joking there, really, seriously. Good name for the Jewish puppet might be Meshuggah. That would be fun. All right. It was on this day, December 14th. This was 6 days after John Lennon was shot and killed in New York City. There were silent vigils held at 1 o'clock New Orleans time for 10 minutes at the request of John Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono. It just makes me think back on what a loss that was. The announcement was made, in fact, I think they were talking about this recently on Monday Night Football. The announcement was made, the breaking news came during Monday Night Football. And I believe it was Howard Cosell that made the announcement that John Lennon had been shot and killed outside of his apartment in Manhattan. That was the breaking of no social media back then. And I was doing the morning show, so I went to bed early. So I didn't know that this had broke. And again, you know, without social media, without the things that we have today, you didn't know that kind of stuff if you weren't watching the news or listening to the radio. So I woke up at 4 o'clock to do my morning show, and I found out, standing alone in downtown New Orleans, it was still dark outside, I was at a paper vending machine, and I pulled out the newspaper, and the headline was, John Lennon is shot and killed. John Lennon is dead. And I'll never forget that moment of just standing there alone and being so shocked. Because there was some thought that the Beatles might get back together again. They probably wouldn't have, but there was some thought that they might. And for everybody who grew up with the Beatles, that was a comforting thought. You know, the Beatles are going to get back together. This is going to be really cool. Or they might get back together. But when I read that, that was the first thing that I sensed, that that would never happen. And something that I grew up with, the Beatles, something that was such a part of my life, was never going to happen again, was over for forever with John Lennon being killed. And it's just so different today. You get news instantly wherever you are, and everybody knows at the same time. But, you know, think about it. It wasn't really that long ago. I mean, this was not like in prehistoric times or anything. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. And the way I found out was just reading a newspaper on a dark New Orleans street at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I thought we would talk about musicians that died that really had an impact. Their death really had an impact on music. And I don't want this to be a bummer. I don't want this to be a negative thing on a Friday afternoon as much as I want it to be a positive thing about their lives and what they brought to music. And this came up a little bit earlier when somebody mentioned something about Janis Joplin dying early. Janis Joplin had a big impact on music. But out of that trio of rock stars that died about the same time, all at the age of 27, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and Jimi Hendrix, I think out of those, I would have to say Jimi Hendrix may have had the biggest impact on music. Jim Morrison and the Doors, they did, but you know, I mean, Jim Morrison was more of a poet than he was a singer or performer. But Jimi Hendrix was just such an anomaly. I mean, in a world dominated by white rockers, I mean, Jimi Hendrix was this just unbelievable guitar player playing the hardest rock ever. I mean, that was hard rock that he was playing. And it was awesome. And back in the 60s, you know, nobody thought about him being black and everybody else being white. If somebody like Jimi Hendrix were around today, there would be a lot of talk about, oh, yeah, he's a black guy. I don't remember there being that kind of judgment back in the 60s when Jimi Hendrix was rising to the top. People didn't think about that as much as they just thought about, damn, that guy's a hell of a guitar player. So what musician's death do you think really had an impact on music? If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870. And our text is 870-870. And this has come up. And again, I want this to be a positive celebration of what these people meant to music. But this is the day in 1980 that at 1 o'clock New Orleans time, there was a 10-minute vigil at the request of John Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono, to remember John Lennon, who was killed 6 days earlier. I would have loved to have seen what John Lennon would have gone on and done. As much of a genius as Paul McCartney is, so is John Lennon. And I'd love to see the music that he would be producing conceivably today. And George Harrison is gone. I never saw Ringo Starr as one of the great songwriters, although he did have some very, very successful hits. But we're talking about the musicians that passed away early that really did have an impact on music, and John Lennon was one. Kurt Cobain is another. I mean, he's part of that 27 Club, Club 27. Dead, rock star dead at 27. It was Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse. They were all 27 years old. So I guess if you're in popular music, if you get past 27, you've accomplished a lot. By the way, I mentioned the name of the Jewish puppet that might be on. Somebody suggested a Jewish puppet that had friends that only celebrated Christmas on the Sesame Street show, and I said, well, why not name it Meshuggah? You know, and apparently that was offensive to some people. And so since I'm not Jewish and I don't know, I know how the word is used in my world. So I apologize if that was offensive to you. You know, I've been in this business a long time. I've been around Jewish promoters and Jewish manager types and Jewish agents. And you know, Meshuggah is just a common thing that is said. It's like, hey, how you doing today? I'm Meshuggah. It means like I'm crazy. I mean, I'm going nuts. Everything is crazy around me. So, you know, if I use that improperly, I do apologize for that. Here's a text that says, the guitarist, the death of Stevie Ray Vaughan really upset me tremendously. Here's a text that says, Kurt Cobain. Here's a text, the one and only legendary Bob Marley. That's sad, too. I mean, any death is sad, but you can't say that every death suddenly changed music. And it wasn't suddenly, but I guess over time, music did change when certain people died. This other text says, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper, the day the music died. That's what American Pie was about. I don't know how much the Big Bopper was contributing to music, but Richie Valens was a big breakthrough because he was Hispanic. And Buddy Holly, if you think about it, Buddy Holly was so innovative. I would have loved to have seen what Buddy Holly would have done as he got older. I'd love to see what he'd be doing today. Buddy Holly was kind of a musical bridge from rock and roll to the sound of the Beatles. And Buddy Holly was into covering big R&B songs from R&B artists. And that's what a lot of the 60s, the British Invasion performers, like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, that's what the Animals, that's what they did. Covered a lot of great R&B stuff. From New Orleans, Matt, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, I really like this topic. I'm really, I'm going to try not to to obscure it too much, but someone that died that made a difference to me was Peter Steele from Typo Negative, and he was actually pretty young, too.
What was he contributing?
Well, he was contributing a lot to the goth industrial music scene and the metal scene and stuff like that.
Okay.
And the reason that he made a difference to me and a bunch of my friends was we actually, because we took him for granted for being so young and such an untimely death, we opted to work his after party rather than the show itself or go to the show itself. After that happened, a couple of months later, Depeche Mode, which was a band that we also really liked, decided they were going to tour. They didn't play New Orleans. But we all looked at each other and we said, we have to go, because if there's one thing that the death of a musician taught us when you didn't get a chance to see them is don't take them for granted if you can go and see them at other places and other venues, because you just never know. And that was what made a big difference to us as far as contribution to music.
And Matt, you bring up a good point, because for everybody, there's a genre that is so important to them that I wish I would have been cool enough to be into goth. I didn't get into to goth until much later in life. But I wasn't cool enough to know Peter Steele and that music. But you and others would know those people within that genre that really did have an impact on that music. And I'm assuming that you'd like to see where that person might be today.
Absolutely. And I think that kind of example, even though I'm using that with that genre, I think that translates to any of the people that you just brought up as well and whatever genre you're into. Yeah. But love the topic. Thanks so much.
Matt, appreciate the call. And from Biloxi, Kevin, you're on WWL.
Hey, good afternoon, Scoot. I guess most influential musician for me and a much more narrow audience, I guess, was Duane Allman. When I was 14, listening to WNEW in New York, I lived around there, depressed as hell, typical teenager, and One Way Out came on the radio, and it just pretty much changed my life. And to hear a heart coming through pickups like that is incredible. Yeah. And you know all about it. People ask Stevie Ray, ask Eric Clapton, ask Jimi Hendrix, what's it like being the greatest guitarist in the world? And they say, I don't know. You need to ask Duane Allman.
Duane Allman and maybe because he died so young or because he was part of a band that continued on and the music didn't stop with the death of Duane Allman, I think a lot of people don't appreciate what a great guitarist he was.
Oh, he was groundbreaking. And he brought music together, R&B and rock and roll, and of course created that quote-unquote southern rock genre, and a great session musician. You know, he played for Wilson Pickett on his Hey Jude cover, which was a million seller. Aretha Franklin, all kinds of big hits. And I wanted to ask you, though, I was lucky enough to hear your show with Harry Shearer the other day, and I got tickets to go to La Petite Tuesday night to see that Christmas show.
Oh, man.
Are you going Tuesday?
I'm
going
to be there Tuesday night. It's Christmas Without Tears, and it's Harry Shearer and his wife, Judith Owen. And I had him on the show yesterday. It was so much fun talking to them. Kevin, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I've never been, but I can't wait to go.
Me neither.
I've got to go because I've got news coming up here. But, it's a show that recognizes the sentimentality of Christmas, but it's audience participation, and apparently people who go have been going for years, and it's fun. I love the Buddy Holly movie with, I'm drawing a blank here. All right, nobody tell me. Don't shout it at the radio. I'll tell you in a minute. Crazy guy played the part of Buddy Holly in the movie. Don't tell me. I know. You think I'm stupid because I don't know. Sometimes, you pressure yourself to think about something and you can't think it. Think of it. Was in a motorcycle accident, crashed his head up against the curb, almost died. He reminds me of Rob Schulte of the Top Cats. He really does. All right, okay, go ahead and send me a text. I swear I'm drawing an absolute total blank here. Starring in the Buddy Holly movie was that guy. Do you know that guy? Big smile, big guy. I'm truly embarrassed, and I really can't. I can't remember. I mean, he had just like, you know, he had those Hollywood teeth. You know the guy, Gary Busey. Thank you. Oh my God. I'm glad I finally remembered. I'm sure somebody texted it, but I didn't get to those texts yet. I finally remembered. Could not remember that guy's name. Here is a text that says, please don't forget about Stevie Ray Vaughan. His blues guitar and voice were earth-shaking. Yes, we did mention him earlier. Here's a text that says, if Jimmy were alive today, he would be just as awesome. He's the reason I learned to play guitar. I wanted to be him. And then here's a text that references something that I talked about a little while ago. Why is there so little talk about what it is that caused the regression from the 60s and 70s to the large division in races now? I don't know, but I've talked about that. I've talked about how interesting it is, and this is why I'm a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation. My generation was the generation of the 60s. And even in the 70s, my generation was all about accepting people. It was about accepting people regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of sexual orientation. It was about equality. It was about love. It was about hippie beads and sunflower seeds. I mean, I wasn't cool enough to be a hippie. I mean, I wanted to be, but I wasn't cool enough to be a hippie. But I don't know what happened. I mean, I kind of have some theories, and we've talked about it on and off, and that would be an interesting thing to talk about on a future show. We're not going to get into that this afternoon, but that would be a really interesting thing to talk about. How we reconcile, how today's establishment, the baby boomer generation, how they reconcile the difference with the way they are collectively as a generation today and the way they were in the 60s. And please don't give me the cop-out excuse of, well, we grew up and learned better. Well, you learned to hate people? What, you learn to be judgmental? For you millennials and for anybody else, go back and take a look at and even listen. You want some evidence? You want some firepower against baby boomers and how they are today collectively as a generation? Go back and listen to the music from Hair, the rock musical Hair. Go back and listen to some of that music. That was the music of their generation. Now, everybody didn't buy into that, but that was the music collectively of that generation. And it's amazing to see how much regression there has been. Here's a text that says, I know you don't care much for rap, but Tupac and Biggie's deaths were huge in the hip-hop community. It's not that I don't care about rap. It's just that I don't know as much about it. And I'm not going to be fake and phony and pretend that I know about rap and hip-hop if I don't. And so, you know, I admit that my reference to music is mostly rock and pop music. I admit that I love a lot of rap. I love a lot of country, but I don't know enough about those genres to talk as much about them as I do rap. I mean, as I do rock. So when I talk about rock, it's not that I'm dissing the others. It's just that I'm just being honest with what I know. All right. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504. 260-1870. Text 870-870. This guy was an absolute genius on the guitar. And in the 60s, people didn't think, look at that black guy playing guitar. No, the 60s generation said, look at that guy playing the guitar. It's Jimi Hendrix. I'm Scooting. We'll be back on WWL. There is no doubt that Kurt Cobain had a tremendous impact on music. In fact, Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, among the leaders of the grunge movement in the 90s. This was the first major break in rock pop music since the Beatles and the British Invasion. And it was a generation of young people whose parents were baby boomers. And it was their way of saying, guess what? We're different from you. And this was their music. And a lot of people in the baby boomer generation said the same thing about grunge that their parents had said about the Beatles and the Stones. That's not really music. They're only playing a couple of chords. It's not really singing. It was brilliant. And then the clothes, the whole grunge look, the flannel, the Doc Martens, all of that was a way of a young generation distinguishing itself from the baby boomer generation. Here is a text that says, Roy Orbison, I adored Roy Orbison and Stevie Ray Vaughan. Here's a text, Dimebag Darrell from Pantera, which started here in New Orleans. One of the best guitar players of all time, gone too soon. Yeah, the guy was shot on stage, and his brother Vinny would die a year later from heart problems. Somebody send me a text. I don't have time to do it right now. I just got a text here. Lane Staley from Alice in Chains. How old would Kurt Cobain be today? And when Kurt Cobain died at the age of 27, I thought, this is robbing an entire young generation. And if you grew up as part of that grunge alternative sound movement, you can relate to this. It robbed that whole generation of the opportunity to see somebody mature, to see somebody mature with them in the same way that baby boomers have watched the Stones, have watched Aerosmith, have watched Alice Cooper, have watched so many bands today, Rod Stewart, mature and still perform. And I just think it's really sad when that happens. So a lot was lost when Kurt Cobain was lost. From Wagaman, Jalen, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Jalen.
Hi, I was wondering if you can give my grandpa a shout out because he's been listening to a while, and I also wanted to know when you started your business.
Okay, your grandpa. What's your grandpa's name?
Brian Strider.
Okay, I'm giving Brian Strider a shout out, and you're Jalen. Wait, you want to know when I started my business?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I started a long time ago. Yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. I was on B97 for a while. I was on WWL radio for a while in the early 90s, and I moved around the country, and I moved back about 7 years ago, and I've been back since then.
That's pretty cool.
All right, well, Jalen, how old are you?
12.
All right, cool, man. I if there's anything about this show that you find entertaining, I appreciate that, and I hope you grow up to be one of our listeners.
Thank you.
All right, Jalen, thanks. Well, I mean, you can be 12 years old and be a listener. So Jalen, if you're still listening, I officially declare that you are a listener now. You don't have to grow up to be a listener. You can be one right now. Here's a text that says Shannon Hoon of Blind Melon. In fact, let's go into the break with No Rain by Blind Melon. Shannon Hoon died apparently of a cocaine overdose in the tour bus right here in New Orleans. And Blind Melon was one of those alt groups from the 90s. They were, a commercial alt group from the 90s. But as tragic as his death was, I don't know that Shannon Hoon's death really had an impact on music in general, unless he did something that I didn't know about. Have you found No Rain by Blind Melon? Okay, all right, we got to go to break. So here's Shannon Hoon and Blind Melon, tragic death, but I don't know that he contributed to the direction of music as much as some of the other people that we've talked about. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Yeah, just got a text. Said, what about Marvin Gaye? God, what a tragic situation. I mean, this guy really did reflect the mood of the 60s and early 70s. Shot and killed by his father. I mean, tragic situation. All right, I'm getting texts. We're running out of time. I could go on and talk about this for hours. We talk about politics on the show, but this pop culture stuff that we talk about, I love talking about this as much as anything. And what's cool about this is I don't think there's enough talk about this in the media. There's not enough analyzing of pop culture and trends and how it reflects the political and socioeconomic times we live in. I'm getting texts about Prince, Joey Ramone, Freddie Mercury, and if you haven't seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, go see it. Freddie Mercury was an absolute genius. Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, I mean, that hurt and shocked an entire young generation. Chris Cornell was another one. And Brad Noel from Sublime was another genius. So you know, there are so many people, you know, some die, and it's tragic, but not everybody's death really had an impact on music because not everybody had an impact on music. Here is a text that said, Jim Croce and Harry Chapin, singers, songwriters, storytellers, both gone too early. And here's a final update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Should the Beatles get credit for being the group that had the most influence on rock pop music? 68% say no, and 32% say yes. And you can still give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Hey, join me this weekend on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. S-O-T-A, Scoot on the Air. If I didn't get to your call and you want to send me an email, my email address is scoot@WWL.com. We've got the fans and the pros coming up next with Zach and Deuce McAllister. I want to thank Diane Newman, our program director, Todd Maness is our show producer, and Tim Zimmer, our studio producer today. And once again, thank you for being part of our show. And also special thanks to Jalen, our 12-year-old listener, who is definitely old enough to be one of our listeners. I'm Scoot. Have a great weekend. Monday, we'll talk about the Saints and a lot more. Have a good weekend. Love you, New Orleans.